This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott.
Bart, what's the number, man? Because you do this because I can't find my damn CD, and I'm pissed off right now. I'm searching for it, and I can't find it. We got problems. So you go ahead and take over from here.
1-800-919-3776. And listen, I know I've been missing in action. I wasn't here yesterday, but guess what? I promise you, I'm gonna hit the ground running like Action Jackson, Lamar Jackson last night. You know what I'm saying? They ran all over them Dallas Cowgirls. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? No doubt. Good, but I digress. And if you can't get us at 1-800-919-3776, you can go ahead and catch us on the tweet at Bart Han. And if you don't get us on the tweet, you're gonna have to DM Allen with the back stamp.
I forgot to send you.
Mabel Limp.
I got one. I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see that one.
Phrasing?
Like, it was androgynous. It was like.
I love when you use some college words. I'm going to add that to my repertoire.
Okay.
I'm like.
I'm serious. I was like, I can't tell.
I'm like Omar Epps in Higher Learn. I learn a new word every day at the dictionary. And I just use it all day. But if you can't get us there, then. You can catch us at Bart Han on Instagram. And Bill, I know you got a little sad yesterday because the Ravens, you know, look like they're going to win out, and you might find out short, and you might try and screw the Jets at the end of the year by losing,
maybe
by playing Jarrett Stidham. But tell them what the hell they can get us at, Bill.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Okay. I need to know this right now. Where the hell is my Mecca and the Soul Brother CD? That's it. That's all. I'm in that place right now where we've got stuff to talk about. We got a show to do. I wanted to show you the album cover because you and I, we got to parody some album covers. And that's one I'd want to do.
Ah.
Right? The hood of the, I think it's a Mercedes.
Yeah. Everything was a Mercedes. You're a safe bet.
It's a 300. Yeah.
It's a safe bet if you say, hey, album cover from any of the 80s, early 90s is going to be a Benz and it might be a Beamer, the little box one. 100%.
Yeah, the box Beamers back then didn't look as good. They're fly now.
Yeah, they were tiny, though.
Yeah, back then, like, that's what I mean. Like, back then, with the circle lights and all, like, it wasn't all that. But now, I'm all about the Beamers now.
Yeah, that's what I love
watching. I'm all about the Beamers. But
you probably couldn't fit in the Beamer back then, man. You too tall for them little bitty ass Beamers.
Yeah. That's how I ended up getting into Beamers, is that the dealer told me, he's like, because I looked at him, I'm like, I won't fit in this. And he's like, I guarantee you will. Like, I'll tell you what. If I fit in this comfortably, I'll take it. 100%. Like I told him, like, that's the deal. Because I thought for sure there's no way I'm fitting this thing.
Yeah.
Of course I fit in it. So that started my run. But I got to tell you, like, I hate when I'm missing things. Like, I'm losing things. That's what, when you know you're getting old, is when you can't find stuff.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Just blame
and I can't
kids.
Find this damn CD right now. And
just
it's
blame
really
on your
bothering
kids.
Me.
Just blame
Where
on your kids.
The hell is it? Because I need it.
Blame it on the
I don't even want to play right now because we got a show to do. I just wanted to show you the album cover. But there's other album covers that we could do, you and I, and movie posters and stuff that we should parody.
Eric B. and Rakim.
No doubt. Oh, 100% that's happening, right? I want to do that, but we need other people to tell us what album covers or movie posters would they want to see us parody. I know people have said Miami Vice already with us. That's happening, 100%. Lethal Weapon's gonna happen. But if you could tweet at us at Bart and Han, album covers or movie posters that you would want to see us parody, like for Instagram and stuff like that, once we're allowed to be in the same place at the same time.
I got one for us, like just that. You can harness your inner Gene Wilder, and I can be Richard Pryor. We can hear no evil, see no evil.
Yeah, I remember that one. Richard Pryor. Yeah, yeah. That actually was pretty funny. I remember
it's
that
It's funny as hell because he couldn't hear. He couldn't see. He was driving, but he couldn't see. Oh, man. Oh, I miss Richard Pryor. Gene Wilder, man. Willie Wonka. Too, yeah. Rest in peace, man.
No doubt about that. Are we going to miss Sam Darnold? I'm going to ask this question because... Well, because of, first of all, we're going to do some lists today. This is an ESPN lists day. Paul Feinbaum's going to join us.
You just made the list
because we got to talk some college football with him about what's going on now with no Michigan, Ohio State. Now what? So we'll chat with him, and that'll be coming up at noon. We got Blitzer Prevent today as well. Bart's back with us, and we got your calls again, 800-919-3776. Line them up and let's go. But I found this one. This caught my eye right away. Is the question was asked of the ESPN NFL experts. Where will Sam Darnold play in 2021? Of the, I believe it's four, right? It's Bowen, it's Reed, Seifert, Walder, Yates. All right, five. Not a single one said Jets. Mm. Not a single one said that he will play for the Jets in 2021. So the choices, so the responses we got were Bears, Broncos,
nah.
Colts. So Walder, Seifert, and Reed all believe Broncos. And I thought everybody was here to tell me that Drew Lock was the man.
I like Drew Lock. I like Drew Lock.
I
think he solidified himself. I don't see like him changing and going for Drew Lock. Oh man, that would be surprising. I mean, they got a good young team. You think about those weapons, Sutton coming back. Fant is a fast 4-4 type tight end that, you know, built in that mold. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got Gordon. They're ready to go. They need protection. They don't need quarterbacks. I think, you know, when Von Miller comes back, if he's half of what he was, Nick Chubb is stepping up. They got A.J. Boye, who's maybe suspended for PEDs, but, you know, he's still under contract.
Right.
They have a solid football team. I don't know if you mess that up and maybe give up a first-round draft. Now, if I'm not giving up a first-round draft pick, then, okay, maybe. If Sam only calls
I'll give you what these guys all said now each. So Matt Bowen said Bears, and you and I have said Bears, right? I've mentioned that to you. You've mentioned it as well.
Yep.
That Bears just seem like an obvious one because it looks like Trubisky's not the guy, and they're going to let him walk. Nick Foles clearly at this point, that's not the answer, right? So Bowen's saying that if Matt Nagy's back as head coach, he could see them making that move. And here's the value. Chicago sends a 2021 second round pick and a 2022 fifth round pick to the Jets. Does that sound interesting enough to you? So you get another second rounder in 21. It wouldn't be a first, obviously, but a second rounder for the Bears, by the way.
I need two ones. I mean, I need two twos. I need two twos. I don't need, like, remember what we gave up to get Sam Darnold? We gave up three twos. So if you're going
to
get Sam Darnold.
You gave that up to get the pick.
Right.
You go with the value chart.
But the player's better than the pick, and the player still's under contract.
You still
can have the player for 2 years.
If you trade him, you got
year four and year five. So you still have it. So if you trade him, then they're going to inherit year four and year five. Sam isn't going to say, "Hey, pay me," because he's happy to have another opportunity because essentially he got fired. Right. So, you know, he'll be quiet and just play it out. And he's going to say, "Give me these 2 years to prove myself. Just pick up the option," and paying him $25 million is a lot cheaper than going out and trying to get another quarterback. When you think about Phillip Rivers, that's bottom of the market. That's not $40 million what Dak Prescott's going to get. But essentially, you get somebody that people believe is could be as good as Dak Prescott, maybe even better. You know what I mean? And you get him under the current contract. Then you may have enough money. Go ahead and sign Allen Robinson back and give him his money. And now you have your answer at quarterback instead of paying two guys, you pay one.
That could be interesting, there, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's another. All right, Jason Reed, who's with the Undefeated and covers the NFL for Undefeated for us, he says he's one of the first to say Broncos, and he said that basically since Peyton Manning retired, that John Elway's been just trying to find somebody that can do the job, and he's failed left and right at that. And he looks at it and says he'd be surprised, though, if it took a first-round pick for Elway to get Darnold from the Jets.
I'm going to need a player. I need something more than that. I need a player and a pick because I need to get
the
better.
The feeling is you're not going to get a first-round pick for him.
That's fine.
Kevin Seifert also. Let me go through these and then we'll just break it down.
Okay.
Kevin Seifert, because we have a bunch that all say the same team, so let's do that and then we'll react. Kevin Seifert, He also said Broncos, and he said that, once again, Elway's going to find himself in that same situation, having to find another quarterback. That, you know, you have Drew Lock, but he's not enamored, he believes, with the current starter. And one alternate possibility is Darnold, even if it requires a mid-first-round pick to take yet another stab at finding a franchise quarterback. So Seifert says that. Seth Walder, he also said Broncos, and he said, but no matter who it is, the acquisition price will be significantly less than what my colleagues proposed above. So he said the last time Darnold was elite at any level was 2016, and right now he's a busted quarterback prospect. Denver could bring him in as an upside play to compete with another quarterback option, preferably not Drew Lock, but there's no need to pay a premium. So Seifert saying mid-first, right? Walder saying nothing like that. Reed saying maybe a second. So you're feeling like if you're the Jets, if you can't get any value, you hang on to him, even if you are getting Trevor Lawrence?
Absolutely. I'm going to hang on to him because guess what? I'm going to let him play with this new offensive line and these new weapons that I'm going to get and build his value up. And if somebody else goes, then I'm going to trade Sam Darnold to trade deadline, understanding that next year, even next year, isn't the year in which you're trying to win. You know, it's the year after. It's the year you go for the juggler. So then you play for Sam Darnold. He becomes Herbert, or he becomes that Tua that he comes in the middle of after the trade deadline. You trade, you know, Sam Darnold midseason for somebody who won, who lost a quarter back who's still in the running, or somebody who doesn't have the quarterback that they want, and they bring him in. I mean,
here's what I don't like about that. I got Trevor Lawrence. You know they're going to have a ton of money to spend, right? Yep. You know this, right? And you already are hinting to us some things that they could do at certain positions. Obviously, upgrading wide receiver with one more talent, tight end for sure. Who knows about the offensive line? You know, areas that will upgrade everything you have on the offensive side, plus head coach. If you start Sam and let Trevor, like, do what Tua did and, like, kind of, you know, get yourself into the season and get a feel for the NFL before we throw you into the fire, what if Sam plays so well that you don't make that move? What if Sam, because he's still young, what if Sam with these weapons and a new coach and suddenly he's playing well and now you're like, what are you going to do?
But it's okay, though, because you understand.
Is that a good problem to have, you say?
That's a great problem to have. You know, he becomes a trade asset, right? You know, I think you definitely still make that move. Like, I mean, did Drew Brees play like crap when Phillip Rivers was there? No, he played well. Remember, before he got stepped on his shoulder, they were going to the playoffs, and somebody stepped on his shoulder, and then that ruined him, right? But he still went and landed on his feet. He went to New Orleans the next year.
Yeah.
Then the rest is history. So it's not like Drew Brees came in, he stunk it up, and then Phillip Rivers looked like the second coming, right? So Drew Brees, you know.
But this is also not a Kurt Warner, Eli thing either.
Yeah, but Drew Brees was a free agent. So, like, they got no value for Drew Brees.
Right.
If Drew Brees would have still been under contract with how well he played the year before he got his shoulder stepped on, what would his value have been worth? They would have gave you anything. So,
if you would have known what Drew Brees was going to become, what I'm saying here is that you're talking about a guy who'll be 24 next year.
Yep.
And then a quarterback you're bringing in who's going to be, what, 22? Yep. And so you're going to have two guys now. You don't trade him because you're waiting. You're going to hold him and see if you can build up his value and then trade him before the trade deadline during the season, which means you have to play him. Which means
if you're having
success, how could you possibly do that? If your team is winning, you haven't won in years. Like, that's my problem. I almost feel like if you're Joe Douglas, you have to trade him before the season.
I mean, I can see your point, but my counterpoint would say, hey, you know, let him build his value up, trade him, you know, during the trade deadline, which is.
But this is the time to build the value up, right now.
But I mean, he don't have the weapons to build a value up. They can't stop.
He does now. Vince is healthy. Perriman's healthy.
Yeah, how's that offensive line looking in the middle? Alex Lewis, we don't even know what the hell his problem is. Van Roten could be done for the year, and I don't even know who the hell the right guard is. And I work for the Jets.
Is it,
it doesn't matter. He's like, excuse me, what's your name? It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter because your name ain't good enough to count for nothing. Reference. So it don't matter, man. So, all like, right. What I'm saying is, like, you know, you can try and build Sam's value up. What I'm saying is that's what you want to do. If the Broncos want him, I'm not just giving Sam away for a pick because you know you're not going to get a first-round draft pick. So you're going to get a second-round draft pick. So I need a pick. I need a player. So if I'm looking at the Denver Broncos roster, they got Jerry Judy. They love KJ Hamler, kind of like a twitchy guy from Penn State.
Okay.
So if that's the case, bro, you got Courtland Sutton that came in. He's a hell of a player, right? You know, he's a beast. He's coming off an injury. He was their best receiver. I might need him. You know what I mean? If you can't get him, I'll get the guy that replaced him, you know, this year. You know what I mean? And Tim Patrick. You know what I mean? Give me Tim Patrick then. I need a player and somebody that's going to give me instant success that's cheap as hell. Right? So Ken Hamler, second year, cheap. He was like a second-round draft pick. Give me him and him. Then now you got Sutton back. So now you got your two receivers. You got Sutton and you got Jerry Judy. Give me Ken Hamler. So now I got an ultimate punt returner slash slot guy. This dude is quick as hell. Reminds me of Dante Hall. So if I'm going to do that, I'm going to get more.
Let me look at your roster and see what you've got in abundance, and I'll take it.
Right, because who knows what the hell the number two pick going to turn into? He could turn into a bum. He could turn into Stephen Hill. He can turn into Vladimir Dukas. You know what I'm saying? So I want to get a player that you've already proven to me that's good, that's not broken. I'm going to put him in my system and hope I don't break him.
Well, the last of them is Field Yates. And he says another team that you've brought up in the past as well, and I kind of like it as a fit, and that would be the Colts.
Yep.
And he said it'll be a full circle acquisition. Darnold was taken third overall, and as you mentioned, a pick originally held by the Colts and traded to the Jets right before the draft. Both top two quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers and who's their other quarterback? Jacoby Brissett, right?
Yep.
They're going to be free agents. So they're going to have an answer at quarterback, and this seems like, you know, with their offensive line,
they're draft one,
and those weapons they have, right? They will not be able to draft one in this draft, or at least one that, you know, they could go for a reach and see if the BYU kid, who's the other one that's
hurt,
you know, like that could be available. You know, they could get him at some point. My point is this: this one makes a lot of sense, and Field brings up this one as well. The question is, of course, what would Indianapolis be willing to give up in that case?
I need a one from them. I need a one from them. Because not only are you giving them a quarterback, the guy that's going to replace.
Where's their one going to be? Like late teens, probably?
It'll
be actually in the 20s.
Like 21, 22. Yeah. Because, you know,
the playoffs.
They're going to win a division. No, they're not going to win the division because Tennessee's going to win a division. So that means that's going to drop, right? So for them, remember, they've already showed you what they're willing to do. They gave a first-round draft pick for DeForest Buckner. So we understand Justin Houston isn't getting any younger. Right. We understand that DeForest Buckner's not getting any younger.
Right.
Right? So they went out and got guys
The Colts and Titans are right there at 8-4. That's right. I forgot that the Titans lost.
Yeah, but the Titans beat them twice.
The tiebreaker right now. But I'm saying but there's still time left in the season is what I'm saying.
Right.
So that could be a pick in the 20s.
So if you look at the Colts roster, they got Xavier Rhodes. They went out and made the trade for Justin Houston, who only has a couple of good years left. They're going to have to pay Darius Leonard probably early, like, you know, probably next year or the year after, right? Because he came in with Sam Darnold, but because he was a second round draft pick, he's actually going to be up. Next year is going to be his last year. You got DeForest Buckner, right, who you just gave up a first round draft pick for. You got Costanzo, you're going to probably lose T.Y. Hilton. You got Ryan Kelly, Quentin Nelson, who's going to have to get paid big time money, number one lineman in the league type money. I don't care if he's at a guard or not. So this is why Sam Darnold makes more sense, because what happens is when you get him, you're going to take the $25 million off the books annually that you're paying Phillip Rivers. But remember, I think they're paying Jacoby Brissett like $20 million a year. So they have like $45 million tied up into their quarterback position. You get Sam. Sam's probably going to be scheduled, you know, next year to what, make $10 million? So now what happens is that allows you.
Brissett's at $6 million this year.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. It's the signing bonus. So his cap is 21, actually.
You see what I'm saying? So you got
'cause you got the roster bonus as well.
So,
wow.
So you got $46 million tied up into your quarterback position.
Damn.
So I'm taking $46 million. I'm taking $46 million.
Phillip Rivers cap hits 25 and Brissett.
Right, because
it's
a 1 year deal. Right. So you understand what I'm saying? Ooh. So you're taking $46 million off the books. So not only am I giving you the replacement and maybe a better player, I'm also freeing up $41 million off your cap. So you can say, hey, I'm gonna pay Quentin Nelson early. So then I can in turn pay Darius Leonard early. So again, what that happens, that gives you 2 years before you have to pay Sam Darnold. And now you've already front loaded their contract. So now your books are balanced. So that's what I'm saying. So that's why it makes more sense. So with me knowing that, if I'm the Jets, depending on who you are, depends the price. Because that means if you're the coach, I want your first round draft pick. Because guess what? You thought improving your tackle position last year was important enough to give up your first round draft pick. So you mean to tell me that their franchise quarterback isn't good enough to give up your first round draft pick? So if I had to deal with anybody, I'm dealing with the Colts. Because you may be able to get that one out of them. Because you're taking $41 million.
It's 23 off the right now. That number one right now would be a 23. It's still. That
gives the Jets 3 first round draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
3. You're only going to get a 2 from other people. Colts will give you 1 because I guarantee you they see Sam and see a lot of talent. But their team is ready to win now because they paid big money. Could you imagine him with that offensive line with Pittman?
He has a line that can protect him and give him time. And they've got some weapons on the outside.
He has a running game. The dude
got
hurt.
A really good running game. No, you're absolutely right about that. We brought it up because we saw that it was posted on ESPN. It was an insider, I believe, and I'm telling you, like, these are the things each week that we do. But this time, this was an ESPN Plus special.
I saw it, and
I couldn't believe that not a single one of the experts, not a single one said Jets. And 3 of them out of the 5 said Broncos.
Yeah.
And you and I said Bears and Colts, and 2 of them said Bears and Colts.
Right.
But the Bronco thing really, threw me through a loop, which is why I thought, let's bring it up, let's talk about it, and let's see what you think. But I can make a case for the Bears, I can make a case for the Colts. The Bronco thing, if they're not going to give up a pick, or if they're not going to give you at least a first, this is going to get interesting, man. And he's got a couple of weeks left, as we know.
To try to
preserve whatever he's got. Look, we all know the guy who's most invested in winning for the Jets right now, the most.
Yeah.
Because Adam Gase knows he's gone. So for him, wins just mean I get a win. I'm not a coach that coaches a winless season.
Right.
That's what it matters to him. But for Sam Darnold, this is about career. This is career mortality for him in New York. Like, he's literally playing for his job right now.
But I wonder if his agent's saying, hey, we can get out of here and get to a better situation immediately.
Yeah, but you're not going to throw the game. You're playing to win, though.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
He's playing to stay in New York and not be replaced. And I get it because I'd be the same way. I'd tell him, too, hey, listen, it's a win-win. One way or another, you're going to get another opportunity.
But if I'm the Jets.
But do you want to be the guy that went 0-16 and ended up getting traded 3 years after you got drafted third overall?
Not on my watch, because I wasn't the starting quarterback every year. So that's not going on. That's not going on Sam solely, because he wasn't the only quarterback the whole year that went 0-16.
Because he also was hurt and got mono.
But what I'm saying is I'm using my back channel. If I'm the Jets right now, I'm having these conversations offline with the Colts now, because if that's the case and they say this is our quarterback and this is a wink-wink deal, then guess what? Sam Darnold, you need to sit your ass down, because you're going to mess up a good deal that I got going. One, you're going to mess around and win a game and not give us the first overall pick. 2, you're going to mess around and get hurt. So you know what? Go sit down or hand the ball off 30 times. I tell Adam Gase, run the ball 30, 40 times. Only throw the ball a couple.
Talked to Ty Johnson yesterday. Impressive kid, by the way. I really liked him. He talked all about team. He's got some serious speed. He's getting opportunity, and he's hoping to get more. Speaking of the running game. If there was ever a cheat code, it was Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl, dude.
Yeah, man, you pick the play, and he still run through everybody. Like, man, come on, man.
It doesn't matter. You pick a play, it doesn't matter. Just run straight, and he knocks people over. It's hysterical.
Like, you come over to my house. You can't pick the Raiders, bro. Like, I'm not playing. It's like stupid.
No, we both picked it.
And like back then, you couldn't pick the same team, could you? And all you do is like you run at an angle, you run up and
run
to the top.
You hold it down. You like would close your eyes, hold down the thing until like it spun through all the teams. You just let go, and whatever it stops on, that's the team you play.
Yeah, but I think no. I'm talking about when you're playing against somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think you can do the random thing.
You'd have to go random because
you pick your best.
Forget about it.
And then the Super Tecmo Bowl, like Buffalo was illegal, man. You just go to the bottom of the screen. You go to the bottom of the screen. You throw it up to Laughlin or Reed, and it automatically catches him. Then they do that little slow graphic where they show him jumping over the dude.
K-Gun, man. But Bo Jackson and Tecmo was like when Pac-Man had a power pellet and the ghosts all started blinking.
Because I think he glows, right? Didn't he glow?
No, I don't think he glowed.
It looked like he glowed.
Felt like he had the glow.
Bo's old as hell now. I think Bo's like 60 now.
It doesn't matter. I bet he can still run through some people. I bet he can still run Bosworth over.
Now if you look at them Nugenics commercials, like Bo look like. But he don't have a Nugenics. He got the other one. Like,
No. You're thinking of Frank Thomas.
No. But Bo has one, King Alpha or something like that, man. He got a generic one, man.
He doesn't even know where he's like, and she'll like it too.
No. It's like Alpha or something. And like you can tell they sprayed the sweat on him, but then it looked like he took his own red t-shirt. He took his own red t-shirt, cut the sleeves off. Cause like, dingy. You know, he like live in the woods. Like Bo's like a real woods guy. Like he got his spear. Yeah. He got spears and like where he go out and hunt with his bow and arrows and stuff like that. Shaka Zulu or something.
I'm gonna let you do that.
Behold, the only thing greater than thyself, Shaka. Solo.
Like, so, look, you got to see the responses.
He would have killed Seth with his boar. That boar would have had a shot.
That's true.
Like, I ain't stepping in the hole. I'm not even
Bo
running.
Bo Jackson was there.
Bo Jackson.
If Karl Malone was there, too, he would have pulled out the buckshot, right?
Yeah, he would have hit. I imagine Karl Malone
hit back in. Let me get that.
I imagine like Karl Malone hitting him with the Hulk Hogan big boot before the leg drop. You know, and the boar coming, he probably got some cowboy boots on. He catches him with the heel and the spurs. Be singing.
Definitely Ting! Had the boots on. So we've got a couple of album covers that they've picked for us, Bart.
Nice.
Okay. Outkast. We should definitely do that. I mean, for sure, we got to do an Outkast. Boys to Men. The problem is, there's two of us.
Right.
We can't really do Boys to Men. That's four.
But we can put the producers. We can put the producers in it. We can put Anthony and John in it.
We got. Oh man. By the way, I mean, Lethal Weapon is a given, obviously, but
ooh, Bad Boys,
Royale with Cheese. You could definitely do Samuel L. You got the same. You got the same grammar.
I'm sick of all these damn snakes on the plane.
No, that's a different movie, but still,
I know. I just like that.
Pulp Fiction though, would be definitely. Trading Places could be funny. White Man Can't Jump is like too obvious, right? Except it's funny because it would be the reverse in this one.
Ha ha! That's funny.
Shots fired.
I'm the one that
takes a nation of millions. Now, who's Chuck and who's Flavor in this one?
You know what? I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, boy. 911 is a joke. Get up and get down. 911 is a joke in your town.
So we got some good ones. We got some really good album covers. Keep them coming. That's a lot of fun. We're definitely going to do some of these. There's no doubt about that. Just seeing if there's any others that I might have to say. All right. 800-919-3776 is the number. It's snowing by Bart. First snow of the year. We're supposed to get some on the island as well, so you've got it already happening. Some news, speaking of where you are, Jersey, Florham Park. Not to like, I didn't drop a pin on you. I'm just saying, like, in Jersey is also Florham Park. I didn't do that.
What do you use, but? You set me up for
the butt. I didn't drop a pin on Bart. I did not do that. Anyways.
In Florham Park.
So it's being reported that Denzel Mims may have to leave Florham Park. That it's not sure yet. Ralph Facchiano, your guy at SNY, is reporting this right now. He said it's not clear that he's actually left yet, but Gay said possibly that he could be out on Sunday. That it's personal issues that are affecting him that have caused him to have to leave. But he has to go through the COVID protocols when he returns, which means he might not be available for Sunday's game. And as a Jets fan, everybody's like, good, put him in bubble wrap. We'll save him until next year. We're good. We've seen enough. Right? I mean, I hope everything, personal reasons why. We hope everything's okay.
No, here comes Berrios. Listen, that's a good thing.
Come on, buddy. We need you.
We need to insure. So if he going back to Texas, that's usually tough, man. That's usually a family matter.
Yeah, hopefully everything's okay.
That's usually not a good thing. Yeah.
Right, hopefully everything's okay. So just reporting that part of it right now. Let's grab a couple of calls. Let's go with John in Valley Stream. Hey, John.
What's up, guys?
How we doing?
I got an album cover. Well, the back of the EPMD, Strictly Business, with the IRA.
Yes.
Guys are killing it. I just got a quick question, man. I'm a big Giant fan. And I'm loving this season. I'm loving the momentum. I just kind of wanted to get a touch. I'm really intrigued about how athletes, their thought process. But back to the Jets, Rex Ryan, when you went on a run, you beat the Patriots. Like, what was the vibe and the mentality? I mean, I know you are convinced you could beat Ali in his prime. But I'm just saying, like, as far as, like, the whole team, was the media, like, did you guys listen to the noise? Did you guys hear what people were talking about? How is the focus and the mentality and like, because I'm feeling,
you mean
like
were you reading your own headlines and kind of getting high off your own supply, like that kind of thing?
I'm just kind of feeling like the Giants on the momentum. They could, I mean, is it possible they can make a run if they make these playoffs? Because I really believe they can. If Gallman, I just don't see a reason why they can't. But I just want to get your take, Bart. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. And if I don't get back on, happy holidays and
thank you,
Merry Christmas. All that good stuff.
Same to you and your family. God bless. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, if Gallman's going to run with that type of conviction and they figure something out, a way to run the football, and then even when you bring Daniel Jones back, you're able to have that play action and be able to take those shots down the field, I think you have a shot. And what happened was when we were playing, we kind of backed our way into the playoffs. We were playing inconsistent. And then when we went in, we said, you know what? If we're going to go down, we're going to go down ground and pound. We're about to make it ugly. We got to drag these teams that are high-flying teams, and we're going to drag them into the mud. And it helped that we went against the Bengals because that was like a soft play, right? That wasn't like going to play the national champions. That was playing a team that we felt that we could beat and a team that we had beat the week before. So it was like one of those things, right? So like the confidence slowly built. And we was like, listen, we just going to punch people in the face. Like we can't win a certain way that they want to play. And we knew that at the end of the day, remember, our defense, even though, Sanchez was emerging, Thomas Jones led the league in rushing, we're the number one defense in the NFL that year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We were number one. So we knew we could shut anybody down. As long as we didn't turn the ball over and we made it an ugly game, and that's what we did. We went and we made it ugly. We just running the ball. What happens is what we realized is because we were so physical in the playoffs, teams were so injured and hurt that they couldn't tackle. They didn't have the personnel. Those same tackles that they were made on Thomas Jones or Sean Green in September and October, they weren't willing to stand on the train tracks.
Yeah.
So we had two Derrick Henrys that nobody wanted to tackle. So in turn, that opened the ball up for Dustin Keller and everybody down the field because everybody was afraid of our run game because they couldn't take that consistent 60 minutes of just an ass kicking. They're like, yo, man, these dudes out there, just throwing bombs and haymakers, yep. They keep coming. And it's like watching a boxing match, right? And they suck them bombs.
The deeper you go into the rounds, the guy who's right.
They start blinking and start reacting to those hits. And then it's like, we end up with decent scores because we got easy scores. Like, late in the game, Cromartie saw Sean Green's like, hell no. I got a wife and kids. I ain't trying to take that smoke. Hell no. Go ahead, dog. You got it. You want it that bad? Yeah. You can have it. Bye. Bye.
Right, exactly. And that's where you start making it is what they call business decisions late.
Yeah, because everybody's hurt. So it's guys that are playing now that already been told that, hey, after the season, you're going to have to get surgery. We're going to have to address this, right?
Right,
so it's guys putting it together with duct tape. So if you're a physical team like the Giants and you establish that run game, that gap scheme, and you
like
coming
Tennessee
on fire on the ball, guys just can't hold up to it. So it's not always
Cleveland.
It's the most physical team. Yeah.
Now, is that why you believe in these teams? Like a Cleveland
yes.
could be a surprise? Like if you're going to look at a team that you'd say, keep an eye on this team in the playoffs, would Cleveland be that kind of team?
Yes, they're the most dangerous team. And the thing is, they're the candidate to upset a favorite because the favorite's going to be sitting there. They're going to be feeling good about themselves. Could I imagine Cleveland maybe potentially going to Kansas City and winning? Yes, I can. Because they can run for 200 yards and keep that horrible defense on the bench. I mean, offense on the bench.
Right.
And then they got, and they still have a guy that can get to the passer, Myles Garrett. So Cleveland is very dangerous. Cleveland is a lot more dangerous than Tennessee because Tennessee doesn't have Jadeveon Clowney playing at a high level. He's already opted out for surgery. So they got a lockdown corner, which is what you need, which is what we had, but they have something we didn't have. They have a guy that should be leading the league in sacks, but T.J. Watt's leading it because Garrett got COVID and missed two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they still got Cleveland is dangerous. Nobody wants to see Cleveland.
I'm telling you, that team and Tennessee up until what I saw last week. But Tennessee is that other team, too, because of the way they played, no doubt about it. All right. We're going to spend a lot more time on this, I think, tomorrow, because whether it's tomorrow or Friday when they announce the final 10, which is always the big debate of who they have at one, who they have at three, who's not, all that stuff. But the NBA Top 100, which ESPN and their experts, quotes, to put together each year, they rank the top 100 players in the league.
Were you consulted? So, were you consulted?
No, not yet. No, I was not asked.
We need to get you on that committee, by the way.
It'd be nice, but, they'll have to approach me. So the top 100, at least from now, we have 11 through 100. So let's just quickly go through it. Just so we can get it set up. And like I said, well, I think we'll dive deeper into this once they give us the top 100, the top 10. But right now we have 11.
You just made the list.
100. So 100, the very last player on the list, is Joe Harris. Joe Harris is one of six Nets on the list.
Hold on, Kyrie now, don't even know who the hell this dude is. Kyrie don't even know this dude's name.
I'm saying
he made the list.
I'm assuming that KD is going to be in the top 10, right? Kyrie is 12. Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert are also on this list. So you've got five in from 11 to 100, and I'm just going to take a – I know I'm going on a limb here. I think KD's in the top 10. So that'd be six players on the Nets, six in the top 100. So just for comparison purposes and no other reason, how many players would you guess the Knicks have in the top 100?
You know what? I don't know.
Just guess.
Damn, Mitch Robinson.
Take a shot.
Mitch
Robinson. Can we play a game before we talk draft, please?
Oh, man. Mitchell Robinson might be 99?
No.
No, because Joe Harris is 100.
Lower Bob. Lower Bob.
Yeah, that would be zero.
But he is on the list. You did get one right. In fact, I'll help you out here.
That's it.
That's all you got.
Yeah, I would say he's the only one.
Just Mitchell Robinson. And he's at 92, up from 98. A little Casey Kasem for you. Up from 98.
I miss Casey Kasem.
Now coming in at 92 this week, here is Mitchell Robinson. That's it. That's all you got. Damn. Nothing else. Not a single other player. RJ Barrett, there are three players from his draft, last year's draft, in the top 100. He's not one of them, and he was a number three pick.
Damn.
Now, obviously, Zion's one. I think he's like 19. Ja's one, and Tyler Hero. No RJ Barrett. That's it. Mitchell Robinson, it's all you got.
Where was Tyler Hero pick? Number 13 or something like that, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was late.
Where's Obi-Wan? So my goal is to have Obi-Wan on that.
Great call.
Obi-Wan, have him on that list.
Great call. I'm going to give you one potentially controversial pick here. It has nothing to do with the Knicks or the Nets, but it's one that I would think if you're gonna put up a fight. Here's one that I would want to hear from people. Again, 800-919-3776. Kyle Lowry is ranked 30th. Decent, right?
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook, who last season came in at number 12, 32.
Ooh.
Excuse me?
Is that
saying that Kyle Lowry is a better player than Russell Westbrook?
That's a tough one. I can see
that's what this list told me when I looked at it.
I can
see
that.
That's what they told me.
You see it. I can see it because Kyle Lowry, you're going to argue, is a better defensive player. He's a better defensive player. He's a better shooter.
Stop it.
And you know, I understand Westbrook is like a triple double, but I can see the rationale as far as his impact on the game.
I think you're wrong. Sorry,
I've been wrong before. It wouldn't be the first time.
I love how you're just taking that from me, though. I think you're wrong, Bart. Could you possibly tell?
Kyle Lowry, man, is the glue guy, man. Like, he's a guy that everybody comes around to get better. He won a championship. We thought that they were going to be a worse team, and he was the uncoursed leader.
How many MVPs has he won? Just curious.
But we're talking about today.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about today. Last year, Westbrook didn't put up a that type of season. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Kristaps Porzingis, for everybody wondering, is 41 on the list for any masochistic Knick fans out there.
Where's alternate world Kawhi?
I'm sorry, Russell Westbrook, by the way, I'm way off. He's 36 on the list, not 32. Mm. How dare me.
Where is alternate universe? Because a lot of these guys got bumped up because of the bubble. Right.
Drew Holiday is ahead of him. Ja Morant is ahead of him. Kyle Lowry is at 30, as I mentioned. Trae Young ahead of Russell Westbrook, everybody. I mean, are we done yet? Are we done yet on this one?
Ja reminds me a lot of Russell Westbrook. They similar. He reminds me of a young Russ that can shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about cars the other day. And, you know, remember the whole Knight Rider Trans Am thing? And I'm always following the old school 80s and all like the retro news kind of stuff because I love like finding out like what on this date. So today in 1983, the movie Christine was released.
Oh, is that about the killer car?
Movie?
Yeah. I mean, I was three when it came out, but you know, I remember it like seeing it. It was like the old
out on this date. I mean, you didn't see it one day like on, you know.
No, I did. That's why I knew exactly what you were talking about. That's what, like, back in the day.
Steam was a crazy movie.
I don't know if it was, like, in our listeners. I don't know if our listeners, because I grew up in the Midwest. But Saturday night was like Saturday thrillers. So, like, all these movies came on, like Ben, and it was the rats. It was like roaches. It was like all this stuff, like killer stuff.
Need look no more.
But that's what I love about like back then. They used to have those Thursday, those Saturday night thrillers that used to come on. And then the Twilight Zone would come on at night. It was like all these crazy stuff. But then when you look at like when I watch the movies with my kids now, they'd be looking like, "What the hell, Dad? Look at this animation. I can see the damn string, Dad. Like, shut up before I punch you in the throat. Enjoy this movie. This is how. Listen,
before I punch you in the throat." Right. Yo, right. Kelly Preston was in this movie?
Huh.
How about that? It was a 58 Plymouth Fury, by the way.
Yeah, I knew it was something. It looked like the old old Biff type of car from Back right. to the Future.
All right, we're already running out of time. I just had to bring it up because it's more fun to talk about than a lot of this other stuff. So let's go Blitz or Prevent real quick.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, so Bart, I'm going to skip one. I'm skipping one right out of the gate. We're going to go right to number two because we got to move and we got to be quick. So we want to hit at least three sports here. So let's go football. Let's spend another day talking about Greg Williams' decision to go for it with an all-out blitz on the final play of Sunday's loss to the Raiders. It resulted in a game-winning touchdown and Williams, of course, being fired. Adam Gase said he wished he called a timeout when he heard the call, but didn't. Neville Hewitt, the linebacker, also says he almost did an audible on the play. Anthony, let's play what he said.
It was frustrating, and I know a lot of people question like that last play and what was going on and stuff like that. For me, when I was out there, I thought about checking to something, and at the top I was like, you know what? Let's try to get there. You know, I was close to getting a sack. I was close to getting him, but he stepped up and threw it up. And you know, most of us would say we should have been in something in a different call.
Shut it off. So Blitz and Prevent, as a linebacker, would you have done, what would you have done?
No, what I'm trying to say, who the hell was the dude? Who was the one that was jumping? Because was he the one jumping?
To try to block the pass?
No, yeah. Remember,
I thought it was Neville Hewitt who jumped in the air.
So what do you mean he almost got there? What did Rex say? You can't be late on a blitz. So instead of calling timeout, if he was going to roll with it, how about blitz early? Instead of covering the middle of the field where nobody was going, bro. It was 13 seconds, 50 yards to go, and you did nothing. So if you're not going to call timeout, listen, we understand that you're not a first-round draft pick, you're not a Hall of Famer, you're not a Pro Bowler.
Neither were you, of course, until you couldn't do that one.
But also understand when Neville Hewitt is talking where it's coming from. Remember who butters his bread. It's not Greg Williams, so he's not going to be loyal to Greg Williams. It's Adam Gase that brought him in here from Miami. So come on, man. Instead of jumping, you should have been running. Instead of jumping in the air, you should have been running forward.
And just quickly, what would you have done in that situation? When you heard the call, would you have been like, hell no. No, audible. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I would have went back there and I would have impressed somebody. You know what I'm saying? We'd have audibled out many. We'd have put somebody deep. I would have told, oh boy, back up to the goal line. Gotcha. And we're gonna come over here and I'm going to press them. And then we'll let the blitz get there.
All right. Next up, hockey. Let's talk about it.
Let's do that hockey.
All right. So we're getting Greg Wyshynski tweeted yesterday. NHL team executive told him that the season will start January 13th, confirmed. They're going to play 56 games. Emily Kaplan later reported on ESPN.com that the league and the Players Association have cleared their financial hurdles, pushing towards planning talks for the 21 season. And so the sides are now aiming for the January 13th, 52 or 56 game schedule. So they've got to work on a bunch of other stuff, including division realignment schedules, corona protocols, all that stuff. Okay. That also has to be approved, but still, Blitz or Prevent. Hockey absolutely needed this after they were real concerned that the league would not have a season at all because of all the challenges they face, both financially and the Canadian border thing that they got to figure out and everything else. And so with this in mind, the Islanders coming off a Final Four appearance and the Rangers loading up with another number one pick, an exciting young team. Let's do that hockey, Bart.
Let's do that hockey. And listen, who's our favorite Russian coming over finally from the States, coming over here to man the goal? Sorokin.
License to Ilya.
Sorokin. Yes, exactly. So listen, I'm excited.
Goalie wars.
Guess what? With the Giants doing what they need to do, we should have a smooth transition to the Nets, giving people in this region something to cheer for, but then when the Rangers and the Islanders come, yes. Now we starting to get back to our winning ways. And listen, we'll just be waiting on the Jets and the Knicks to catch up with everybody else. But at least we have seasons that are starting that we can believe and look forward to, that we can be happy with some and have some pride.
Actually,
and the Mets. And the Mets. I'm not even gonna get into DJ LeMahieu. I ain't gonna go there.
Running out of time. Last but not least, LeBron James, new contract extension, as we've talked about, runs out in the same year his oldest son, Bronny.
You've been on this for 2 years.
Yeah, will graduate from high school. If the NBA decides to amend that rule and prevents and allows you can jump straight into the league, LeBron might have the ability to play against or with his son. He says this, quote, "The best thing about it," meaning his extension, "is the year I'll be a free agent will be the same year my oldest son graduates high school," end quote. Thanks. So he's paying attention. So Blitz and Prevent, you and I both know this is happening. Does this put extra pressure on Bronny, who's 16, to be good enough to even make the NBA?
Blitz. Of course that's what's going to happen. He already feeling himself anyway. Remember, he got in trouble while LeBron was in the bubble, so he think he's already arrived anyway. So you're looking up that LeBron and Bronny will come to the Knicks, and then Bronny will be a bust.
Oh,
he'll be like the second coming of Isaiah Thomas' son, who I love but couldn't play basketball, and he'll be like Jeffrey Jordan's son, who couldn't live in his dad's shadows, and we'll be stuck with
it's
him.
Not easy,
like Tim,
man.
We'll be stuck in it with him like Tim Hardaway Jr. trying to figure out who the hell we can trade him with. And he'll be like he'll be like the third Ball brother.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.